This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Your wish is my command.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The Fed gave Wall Street what it wanted yesterday, a half-point cut in interest rates. The Dow shot up 200 points after the news. But the party didn't last long. One of the big bond insurance companies had its credit rating lowered. The health of these companies is perhaps the biggest vulnerability for the stock market right now. This morning, the largest bond insurer, MBIA, reported a fourth-quarter loss of more than $2 billion. Yesterday, the Dow ended off 37 to 12,442. The S&P slipped 6. The Nasdaq lost 9 points. Asian markets were higher overnight, but in Europe, the key markets are down. 5 people sit on the Securities and Exchange Commission. Normally, it's 2 Democrats and 3 Republicans. One Democrat left the SEC last September. The other is leaving the agency today. Nancy Marshall Genzer looks at the effects of their departures.
Democrat Annette Nazareth is leaving the SEC at a critical time. The agency is juggling 36 subprime investigations. Former SEC chief accountant Lynn Turner says with both Democrats gone, the agency has lost its toughest enforcers.
We probably have a kindler, gentler SEC rather than one that is really going to turn out to be a strong cop on the beat, a dog with more than just bark, if you will.
Ed Fleischman is a former SEC commissioner, now an attorney with Linklaters LLP. He says the SEC hasn't lost its bite.
The other 2,300 or 2,500 people in the agency go on working just the same, whether or not there's 2 commissioners, 3, 4, or 5.
Turner says it was like that a decade ago, but he says since the current SEC chairman Christopher Cox came in, agency staffers have been on a much tighter leash. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
For years, Americans and Canadians could travel across the border without documentation. Just declare your nationality to the border agent. That changes today. A new rule requires U.S. and Canadian citizens to use a passport or a driver's license along with a birth certificate. There is a similar rule for Americans traveling to Mexico. So how will these changes impact the border economy? From the America's Desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
It can take hours to cross the southern border with Mexico, but the northern border was a different story. Customs agents took people's word for it. It took an average of 45 seconds to process a vehicle. Now anyone without the proper documents may be turned away.
The whole perception is the United States is not a welcoming country. The motto seems to be, if you come, fine, and if you don't, even better.
Angelo Amador is with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. He says the passport changes come at a time when the U.S. could use more Canadian tourists, not fewer.
A large sector of our economy depends on tourism, and I think it would be bad to continue damaging it.
To make things easier, starting tomorrow, Americans can apply for a wallet-sized passport card to travel to Canada, Mexico, and the Caribbean. The cards will be ready by this spring. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By Siemens. From grade school to grad school, Siemens supports America's next generation of innovators with Student Science Days, plus scholarships and awards for students, schools, and teachers. And by Reuters, delivering news and information that reaches over 1 billion people every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
In this election year, we know the economy is what most voters are concerned about. So Marketplace decided to talk to the people advising the presidential candidates on economics. This morning, we're speaking with Austin Goolsbee with Senator Barack Obama's campaign. Professor Goolsbee, what are you recommending in these tough economic times?
Well, in the short run, I do think you need at least some significant insurance policy to try to prevent troubles in the housing and financial services spreading to the rest of the economy. I believe that that involves some kind of stimulus. Senator Obama has outlined a stimulus whose centerpiece is getting the money out the door right away and into the hands of the people who will use it. We've got to come together on a bipartisan basis and get that out the door right away.
Well, let's talk the individual. And let's say the people who are in the upper income bracket. Should the Bush tax cuts be made permanent?
My view has been that the tax cuts for high-income people that the Bush administration put out, they weren't needed. And as Senator Obama says, they weren't even asked for. They were asked to be temporary by the president, and we ought to let them expire.
The last time a Democratic administration was elected to the White House, deficit reduction was a priority. Where does that issue show up on your radar right now?
Well, it's clear that with the massive fiscal hole of the last 6 to 7 years, that's not a problem you could fix in a day. Senator Obama has said, look, I don't want to do anything that's going to increase the deficit. Everything we come up with has to be paid for. Those two things said, the third point I'd say about deficits is the long-run fiscal health of this country depends very much on us making key investments in, for example, college affordability, investing in the skills of our workforce, investing in the infrastructure of the country.
Do you believe that current trade policies in terms of our key trading partners are flawed? Has free trade essentially helped to weaken the U.S. economy?
Those are two totally different questions. I'm an economist, so you know I'm going to say no to the second question. Open markets are good. But I don't think it helps when you open up trade agreements and see that they're 2,000 pages long and they look just like the tax code, that the first three pages are about opening markets and then the next 1,997 pages are loopholes, giveaways, special protections for individual industries. I mean, that's getting us pretty far from the case for open markets.
Austin Goolsbee is the chief economic advisor to Senator Barack Obama. Professor Goolsbee, thanks so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
For more on what the presidential candidates want for the economy, go to our website. That's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.